really, I think, a powerful time. But thinking about women, and I was reminded of these verses, thinking about the offering here in Luke. You might wonder, how did Jesus ever get food? How did he have money? How did he, you know, because he worked as a carpenter. You didn't get rich doing that. But he was sustained by a group of women. In chapter 8 of the book of Gospel of Luke, it says, after verse 1, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Just to pick one out, Mary Magdalene, because it says 7 demons, there's a connotation that she was a prostitute. Well, that's not the only kind of sin in the Bible. I've been to the city of Magdala and hope to go back. Actually, we're staying right next to it on the Sea of Galilee. We still have room for a couple, or 2 individuals, but anyway, let me know if you want to go. But Magdala, there's a different view of Mary, that she wasn't a demoniac woman in the sense of crazy sexually. She had brokenness, and it could have been 1,000 other things, but she was a businesswoman and very prosperous. And over the years as a pastor, I have seen, again, I'm not diminishing the men, but I've seen that we've had generous women that have kept this church steering straight ahead and above water financially. But then there was a year we had a single mom that God put his hand on her, and she literally kept us from having to lay off staff. And I've just seen over the years, women have a tendency, and like in my house, my wife is way more generous than I am. She just is. And so we help balance each other, or we'd have no money left. But she's kind and generous. I said, honey, we can't support any more kids and Convoy of Hope or Compact. But anyway, I've seen over the years some business women that are entrepreneurial, that are wise, that prosper, and they're generous to the church. And I also have learned that there's many men that are generous to the church because they have a good wife that tells them to. And so for that, I just want to say thank you to the generous women here that are just in the kingdom of God, pivotal, strategic. You have wisdom in the business world, you're leaders, you're courageous. And thank you for your generosity. So let's pray over the offering and over the word that we'll share together. Father, I do thank you, Father, for those that I'm aware of, women in this church, Lord, that are just good businesswomen. They're wise with their finances. Lord, you've prospered them. They work hard, and they're generous. And Lord, thank you. Thank you. Bless them, Lord. I just pray, God, you bless everyone as they give today, whether it's a check or cash or they gave online or automatically. Lord, as they worship you with their giving, Father, will you just bless and prosper them back? What a testimony to be thought of that you might, these women might have thought they were nobodies, but they supported Jesus who changed the world. And Lord, our giving to the ministry of the kingdom can make a difference in the world. And so bless it. Now bless our time in your word, Lord. I'm excited about what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, we're back into Isaiah. Someone say, Isaiah, is there anything else in the Bible besides Isaiah 6? He's been in that thing all over. And we got one more week after today. Maybe we might extend it. But I love that the things that God's bringing out, making it relevant today. So I want to speak to you this morning about really the whole reason Isaiah goes through everything he goes through is we're going to come to the conclusion of that. And so I want to read it to you. Isaiah chapter 6. We'll start reading in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and those that were here last week, lift it up. There were 3 of you here last week. So we just emphasize that word could be translated lifted up, and it has a whole different meaning when you understand it from the New Testament, lifted up on the cross. He was high and lifted up, his train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, with two they were flying. They were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for." Then, verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Verse 8, then, whenever you see a then in the Bible, you always pause and you say, when. When a then is there, he's referencing a when. This is a conclusion. It's almost like the word therefore. It's summarized. In other words, Isaiah's had this amazing experience, but it's going to come out to a very practical outcome. So I know we can get caught up with the seraphim and the throne and the glory and holy, 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 and the smoke and the shade. And that's all wonderful. But more important than all of that is the mercy that Isaiah experienced and the cleansing of his mouth. He had his tongue cleansed, his lips cleansed. And the result of that, he's now in a place, not that he's earned it, because he's done nothing. He's just said, "Oh, I receive it. Touch me with a coal. I'm ruined." But now he's in a position to be able to hear God. Then, after that cleansing, after that humbling, after that sense of focusing on the Lord, the result is now I'm going to have a relationship with the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning about hearing the voice of God. I want to take the mystery out of it. You know, let me just say, in all my years of walking with Jesus, over 50 years now, is that I've never heard him speak to me audibly. Some people have. I have friends that, and I don't doubt that. He did it all through the Bible. I wanted him to do that. I've hollered at him to do that. The more you want God to raise his voice, the quieter he gets. So let me just help you. If you try to tell him to speak up, you ever been around people that are just soft talkers? It's not me, by the way, if you're wondering. When you say to someone four or five times, "What was that? Say that again." And they never raise their voice. They don't get the clue. "I can't hear you. And I'm not a close listener, so I'm not getting any closer." There's this arm's reach here. Do you ever have close talkers? They're right here. No, that's out of my, everybody has personal space. Here's mine, right here. If I can't hear you from here, you're going to either talk louder or I'm not going to hear you. Soft talkers. They're probably better than loud talkers. We can be aggravating. We're too loud. My wife regularly, "Honey, you're so loud." "What do you mean I'm loud?" And then, you ever done this, men? When they tell you that, you get louder to tell them you're not loud? "What do you mean I'm loud? I'm not loud. I'm not raising my voice. I'm about to, but I'm not." Isaiah encounters the Lord. God loves to talk to his children. He is a God that wants to meet you every day. His mercies are new every morning. He has a lot to say to you. We say, "Well, I can't really..." You know, most people overthink hearing from the Lord. Now, the God's word is one of the primary ways God speaks to us out of his word. We listen to him, and as his word is spoken, you hear the voice of God. You can, if you're listening. But I've learned that the voice of God comes in very gentle whispers or nudges, or to use a cultural phrase today that is used probably in a lot of bad ways, but it's a vibe. I hate to even say that. It comes out sideways when I say it. But what I mean by that, there's a sense. Sometimes you'll get a feeling. a sense. And God speaks in so many other ways than words. But words are crucial. But he can give impressions, little nudges that you, if you're not paying attention, you say, oh, that probably wasn't God. But what I want to talk to you about is this experience has so impacted Isaiah that now he's going to spend the rest of his life using his mouth that God has cleansed to speak words to encourage others along the road. And that is a gift. To me, if you want to pray for a spiritual gift, I love all the spiritual gifts. But to me, the most important spiritual gift is the gift of encouragement. The gift of speaking a word in due season, not being a I'm always happy person and I just want to go around telling everybody how happy I am. I'm talking about when the timing, that God gives timing to when you give a word. A word out of season is wasted. You have to have discernment. We'll talk about that more in a minute. So there's this powerful experience that he has with God and he hears him. Now, this impacts him. I want you to go a few chapters over to chapter 30, Isaiah 30, and this chapter 6 shapes the whole book of Isaiah. And you're going to see this again. His mouth is referenced three times. We're going to look at first, he cleansed his mouth. And again, that's not just from saying four-letter words. It's what's out in the heart. To clean the heart is to clean the mouth. So when he talks about his lips being cleansed, he's cleaning his heart. And in our small group series, we're talking about the power of the tongue. And Proverbs says life and death is in the power of the tongue. You can curse somebody. Now, that doesn't mean literally that they're going to die, but you can crush a spirit with a word. You can crush somebody. Some of you are living with things you were crushed with at an early age. And God can heal it, but they're crushing words. And Isaiah has gotten cleansed from that. Now, chapter 30, look at verse, this is a powerful verse. If you get it in your repertoire, you can come back to it over and over again. It's very rich. I just want to touch on it. Chapter 30, verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the God, the Holy One of Israel says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. The word repentance has the idea of just coming back to where you ought to be. I mean, it's you get off the path, you come back. You go the wrong way, you come back. You're not. Isaiah had drifted, he came back. Repentance is a good thing. It means you're coming back to mercy. You're coming back to the grace of God. And then rest is the sense of, I'm not going to make this happen on my own. The word rest has the idea of, I'm letting God do the heavy lifting. My father-in-law, we call Pastor Rick around here. He will often say to you, Jamie, or whoever he's talking to on our staff, he says, let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting. If you're doing the heavy lifting, you'll know about it because of your mouth. You'll be complaining. You'll be you're just moaning and not good. But when you turn back to God, and Isaiah rested after that experience. He learned that God's going to have to fight his battles for him. Then he says, in quietness and trust is your strength. So quietness means, he said, not only God cleanses lips, he said, less is more. When you want to hear from God, learn to be quiet. It's very hard to hear from God when you're talking. It's hard to hear from God when you're not listening. And we'll look at that in a minute in another scripture. But learning to be quiet. When Moses stood at the Red Sea and he was overwhelmed and the army of Egypt was coming at him, and God just basically said, Moses, stand still and be quiet. If you can fight that battle to shut out the chatter, to shut out the accusing voices, to shut out anxiety, if you can fight this fight, turn to God in repentance, rest in him, be quiet. See, that's a battle. You're not going to hear God filled with anxiety. I don't know, Lord. I don't know. If you can't be still, be quiet. Just be. I literally, we train in our prayer team Sometimes you have to tell the person you're praying for to be quiet. Gently. You don't say, shut up. But there are some people, especially if they're in a Pentecostal background, you go to pray for them and they're like, yes, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'll just say, all right, listen, this isn't a time to pray or even praise. It's time to be still and receive. And when you do that, I've every time I've ever done that to a believer that was caught up in nervous words and they got quiet, boom, the Holy Spirit comes. They start weeping, or the burden is lifted, or joy comes back. But there's your battle. You say, what do you got to do to hear God? You got to learn to be quiet. You got to settle yourself. You got to settle. You got to stop. You got to turn off the chatter, the noise. You got to disconnect. You got to say, God, I want to hear what you have to say. Now, let me help you. Don't go to God with yes or no questions. I just don't think that's ever wise. Here's what I hear when I say, God, do you want me to go here or not? I'll hear, yes, no, no, yes. I'm like, what is it? Is it yes or no? Yes. No. I'm like, it's God's not conflicted. It's the fact that he's saying, son, you're backing me into a yes or no answer. I want to talk to you about your soul and about how much I love you. We'll get to guidance. We'll get to making the right decision. But I want you to want me more than you want a good answer. I want you to want me more than you want guidance. You know, my wife and I are in a season in our life that we've made plans that are going to change our life. God told us to, and he told us over a year ago, and we have plans coming at the end of next year. It's going to change our life. I don't know what's on the other side, and it's driving me insane. People say, what are you going to do? I don't know. I'm the kind of guy that wants to know. Let me help you. I'm a planner. We have vision. We're marching towards things. That's what leaders do. But when you don't know what's the next assignment, what's on the other side, and that's many of you in your life, and God's, for whatever reason, has decided it's not important to talk to me about that right now. So every time I rattle in heaven's gates and say, God, what are you, I don't, it's crickets. Because he wants me to be quiet. What's the end of the verse say? Trust him, or have the word trust could be confidence. Be quiet and trust in him, or have confidence. Do you have confidence in God? You're going to hear so much more from God when you come to him with a confidence that he wants to talk to you and he wants to communicate. So your battle is to get your tongue cleansed. In other words, if there's something blocking listening to God, get that out. Second of all, get your tongue quiet. Just learn to listen. Just hush at the end of your prayer and say, Lord, you got anything you want to say to me? Okay, I got to go. Bye. No, it's Lord, let me give you some time. And again, it may come by a sense, an impression. It may come with a nudge. It may come with a whisper. It may come with a verse that God shows you. Now, so he's not only got a cleansed tongue, a quiet tongue. The final one is he has a discipled or a trained tongue. Go to chapter 50. This all happened, and he walked it out. It's never one big zap by God, and you're all there. I wish it was that way. It's a journey. But Isaiah walked out chapter 6, the rest of his ministry. Chapter 50 of Isaiah, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue. The word instructed means discipled. It's like this tongue went to university. University of wisdom. University of molding. God's basically said, I want to use your mouth to help encourage other people. Because that's what he says at the rest of the verse. He's given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning. That's our new mercies. Lamentation verse goes there to confirm it. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. Could you say that to the Lord? Would you open my ears? You've got to give him time. You can't hear God in a hurry. You just can't. It takes some time. For me, it's got to be in the morning or the rest of the day fills in. But it's not legalistic, and it's not like God doesn't talk to me the rest of the day. I have conversational prayer with God all day long. It's not religious. It's not I'm on my knees. It's not mechanical. It's just I just pray through the day as I go through the day with the Lord. And often I'm too busy at times to pay attention to what God's saying. But the more I say, Lord, teach me. As a pastor over all these years, there's no greater joy that my wife and I have, and now Pastor Jason or whoever's in the pulpit. It wasn't this way when I first started preaching. But over the years, I came to this. There's no greater assignment than encouraging people. If you come to the vineyard, and when you're done and you walk out the door and you feel better. Now, I'm not talking about some, sugar, candy, high, feel better. I'm not talking about some, it's all good, don't worry, keep sinning, do rebellious things, and God loves you, feel good. No, I want you to feel bad when you need to feel bad to feel good. Sometimes you have to feel bad before you feel good. So we're not the church of the we want to make you happy. That's not my vision, our vision. Our heart is though we do want to make you encouraged. And when you're encouraged that I can overcome this sin, I can defeat these lies, I can overcome this anxiety, this loneliness, this sense of my son didn't have a job and I'm praying I want you to leave here with your lungs filled with the oxygen of the Holy Spirit, that you fill up with courage, and I can go back into the workforce, go back to a difficult marriage, I can go back to difficult children, I can deal with health issues because I found strength in the Lord. That's our passion. And if we don't do that, then we're failing in our job of the Word of God. And it's not hard to be encouraging when you know the God who's the God of encouragement. It's amazing how for times over the years, I beat people down more than I encourage them. Until the Lord, He spoke to me one day. And anyway, it's just a different. We have this dialogue together. One time He spoke to me, He said, son, it's harder to become a member of this church than it is to go to heaven. And I'm like, was that wrong, Lord? Of course, I knew it was wrong when He told me. I had so many strict rules and so many. We discipled people that I had people that were, anyway, doesn't matter. Point being, I was too hard. I was too stringent. I was too strict. And I realized that with mercy or honey, the Word of God goes down. As I should have learned that from Mary. Was it Mary Poppins? Spoonful of honey makes the, or sugar. Some of the kids are, what, Mary who? Yeah. I'm not recommending it, by the way. So it'll haunt you, those songs. But it's true. You give people a little mercy, and it's a lot easier to swallow something that they don't want to hear. And the kindness of God is what makes His voice easy to hear. Because God, though there's times He'll be firm to you, He'll challenge your behavior. He'll, as a good father would do, look me in the eye, son or daughter, look me in the eye. You're better than this. This isn't what I saved you for. And He'll have those hard conversations, but it's always done in love. God doesn't speak to His children out of rage. He just doesn't. You may feel that. You may feel He's angry at you. That's where you got to go back to the beginning and you got to get cleansed. Isaiah had that experience where his mouth, his tongue was cleansed. God let him know, son, I love you. I love you. But this isn't how I want you speaking. This isn't how I want, you're not helping other people. I don't know what all Isaiah was doing. I know what I do. So get the tongue. Then you learn the discipline of your tongue being quiet in prayer and listen. And then for me, I write. I keep a journal, and it's not a diary, but I use it as a tool, and I write all kinds of prayer needs but I write what I feel God saying to me. It's not the Bible, and sometimes I get it wrong, and I go back in my journal and miss this. Certainly, so I'm human. But here's the deal. God loves to use His children to encourage other people. That's the most, and it doesn't have to be deep, profound, like trying to explain to someone who Gog and Magog is in the book of Ezekiel. ain't going to help him. That single mom trying to make a living, she doesn't care who Gog and Magog is, and you don't know who they are anyway. Nobody does. It's just complicated. The book, let me tell you who the Antichrist is. Let's do a course on how's that going to help that single mom try to raise that kid by herself. No, she needs to know that Jesus wants to walk in life with her. She needs something simple. Like I had a brother-in-law that he was got hired for UPS. They never hire people full-time, to my knowledge. They start you part-time and they try to burn you out. I didn't know it, but that's our strategy, how we've got our staff over the years. We start people as volunteers, burn them out, and when they're about to drop dead, we give them a little money, and we bring them on staff part-time because they're working so hard. It's like, we're going to have to pay them something. They're working so hard. And then they're very part-time, and they do whatever we need them to do. It's not slave labor, but it's really close to it. And that's how Pastor Jason got in. You know, he was a low notch on the totem pole for quite a while. And you know, when you're drawing straws and you're the low on the totem pole, you get the bad straw, whatever that is. And so when the individual thought they would do a terrorist act in the men's room and lock the bathroom door, he drew the straw to go in there and clean it up. But you had to get in there first. And I would have kicked the door down. And there's no way I'm crawling on that nasty floor unless I had a hazmat suit on. I would have demanded a hazmat suit. He didn't have a mask. I don't know. Did you have gloves on? He doesn't remember. I'll help. Let me help you. No. So when he shakes your hand today, you know. He crawled in there and had to clean up that terrorist act. And it was terrorist. It was foul. And it was left over the weekend. It was something done on Sunday that we didn't catch it till Monday. And it was bad to the bone. And do you think I crawled in there? No way. But let me tell you this. I was the janitor of the first church I pastored. And I did crawl into those sinks. My wife cleaned the church and kept the children. I was the yard man. So you started the kingdom of God in any other way of business. This generation is probably like all generations. They want to skip the steps and get to where you got without paying the price that you pay to get where you get. And so this brother-in-law of mine was working for UPS, and they about burned him out, and he didn't quit. So they hired him. And now they put him on a route that no human could do. It's timed, and you got to get here, get there, get here, get there, get. And he almost had a nervous breakdown. And so he's trying to be on the schedule. He's sweating and pulls up to his house, runs up, does the thing. As he's walking away, the lady says, "Excuse me, sir." And he's like, "Nothing anymore." But he thought, "I got to be nice. She could complain. I'll lose my job." And so he turned around. What can I do for you, ma'am? She said, "I just wanted to remind you Jesus loves you." Now, he had a meltdown. He almost didn't make it back to the truck. It took his breath away. It wasn't some deep, profound, let me give you the secret answers to the book of Revelation. Let me just remind you in a pertinent moment. You know, it was, again, it's not running around, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. That's just a machine gun, rarely effective. But when the Holy Spirit puts it on your heart and you just say, "I just want to remind you that Jesus," my wife and I love to do this when we travel and go play. We just remind people Jesus cares about them. And that's what Isaiah is talking about here. He said, "God's trained my tongue in order to have a word," back in verse 4, "to know the word that sustains the weary." The word weary there has the idea of someone that's just exhausted and in suffering. It's somebody that's self-inflicted wounds to themselves. Someone that's beating themselves up. Somebody that's given up hope. They need somebody to come to them with words of life, not just nicisms. "Hey, it's going to get, everything will work out. It'll just, everything works out." I don't need your little sloganism. You need to come to people with something God wants to say to them. And you have to have confidence. Because you've learned to hear God say encouragement to you, you can learn to encourage other people. God